Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved. I can't get no
satisfaction. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. And I am the Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, the one and only. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and the one for my new book, The Age of the Customer, and that's ageofthecustomer.com. I hope you check that out, and I hope you'll find the book interesting enough that you'll buy it. You can get the e-version or the hard copy there on my website or at Amazon. Greg Murad is with us. Greg, Vice President of National Right to Work Committee, thank you again for being part of our day. Tell us what NRWC is.
Our National Right to Work Committee is a grassroots-based organization for people across the country dedicated to the principle that nobody should be forced to join a union as a condition of employment. Everybody ought to have the right to be a part of one if they want to, and ought to have the right to not be a part of one if they want to. That just seems like the American way to us.
Now, if somebody, we talked earlier in the previous segment about the right to work, if your state is not right to work, meaning the unions are basically controlling things, if you're not a member of a union, but you still have to pay dues, do you get to vote? I mean, do you reluctantly have rights, the same rights other people do, if your dues are taken from you, or do you have to officially join the union, even though your dues are being deducted?
Yeah, if you want to vote in the union elections and even on your contract, you have to join the union. If you want to consider yourself a conscientious objector, you want to say, I want no part of this union, you got to take it from me by force.
And they do,
you don't get to vote in the union elections, you don't get to vote in your contract.
They take your money, but they don't let you participate, which is, folks, that's the essence of the difference between right to work and non-right to work states. And so there are 24 right to work states right now. We need more of them. In fact, all of them, there should be a federal right to work law as far as I'm concerned. So talk to us about the economic impact. You guys have done a lot of work recently on the economic impact of right to work.
Yeah, it's dramatic. Places with right to work laws, they actually tend to do better economically. When you factor in cost of living, families in the average right-to-work state area have got anywhere from $2,000 to $4,000 more income and more spending power every year, depending on which study you look at. Yeah. It really is a dramatic difference. Jobs want to go where the right-to-work states are, and people are following jobs. You know, the non-right-to-work states are bleeding the younger demographics, the 18 to 24 range, because people are following the jobs, and the jobs are moving to right-to-work states.
And the auto industry is following that big time, isn't it?
Very much so. Most of the foreign automakers, when they come here, have been wanting to set up shop in the right-to-work states instead. We saw the UAW put a massive amount of money into trying to unionize a Volkswagen plant down in Tennessee.
Yep.
They had every advantage possible there. The company was even on
including
board.
Including the company's complicity.
Exactly. Well, it's a German company. In Germany, the union sits on the board of directors out there, and so the company was very much trying to help, and the people, the workforce in Tennessee still rejected the union.
But the thing is even the states that are right to work, that have automobile companies, their people are still high paid. The unions aren't helping them get more money. They're just taking money out of their pockets, aren't they?
Exactly, and it was really, really blatant when the UAW tried to push into Tennessee. Those people have great jobs. They're very well paid. And most of that workforce just saw it as a naked power grab. The union wanted to come in and take a chunk of what they had.
Full disclosure, Greg, I grew up in a union household. My dad was union. My mother was union. They don't understand what happened to me. But what they also didn't understand, my dad before he died, and what they didn't understand, is the times changed. And, you know, 60 years ago, 50 years ago, unions were important for American workers. But their day has come and gone. Now they're just an anachronism. Now they're just an abuse of power. They're no longer needed in any part, in my opinion, any part of the American marketplace. What do you think?
Well, certainly they have, 90% of what they used to do is now covered by minimum wage and OSHA. But, you know, I talk to businessmen all around the country on a fairly regular basis, and the one thing I hear over and over again is that you get the union you deserve. If you treat your people well, you don't have a nasty union in your face, and if you treat your people poorly, you can expect them to unionize, and then your business is going to be really suffering.
That's an excellent point.
So as a general rule...
But your point... But let's talk about the statistics that back up your point about how things have gotten better with legislation. When I was a kid, probably a third of all public private workers were unions. Today it's like 6 or 7%.
That's about right. It's about 6.5% of the private sector workforce. Of course, they've been growing as a percentage of the government sector workforce.
Right, and that's
which is a
and that's even more
right.
That's even more dangerous. When are you going to take that project on, Greg?
Well, we're taking that project on. It's a long, slow haul because once the union unionizes the government sector workforce, they instantly become the largest and most powerful lobby in state government. It's a tough thing to take on.
Harris beat the SEIU in Illinois. We talked about that in the last segment, didn't it? And that case was against
the
SEIU.
We did. Those people weren't truly even government employees, but that was their biggest growth sector, and that's going to cost them a lot of money losing that down the road. But
folks, government unions are one of the most dangerous entities in the United States of America. What do you think, Craig? Last thoughts?
I think that's absolutely true.
Give us your website, please.
www.nrtwc.org.
Hey, Greg, will you continue to keep us updated on all the things going on here with Right to Work?
Absolutely, Jim. Anytime you want.
Appreciate you. Thanks for being here. Good job. Take care.
Thanks, Jim.
Greg Morad, ladies and gentlemen, with National Right to Work Committee. Quick break. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.